When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, guys, this is the new podcast, the first one of 2021. In this podcast, I'll be honest, we didn't have much planned.
No.
But we've managed to pad it out to an action-packed 50-minute episode.
A lot of padding out there, a lot of pauses. It was strategic. Yes. Maybe an extra second longer than you need to be, but it all adds up.
So in this episode, you're going to hear who I want to, maybe not want to fight against, but who I fancy my chances against in the golfing world. How I used to go on golf holidays just to go out clubbing.
Yeah.
How we saved someone's life.
We did. That's a good story.
COVID and shutting golf courses and bore off.
When we say fight, by the way, Rick, we're not talking like Twitter fight. We actually had quite an in-depth discussion about, and we've done this before, but this is even more depth, about you having fights.
Cage fighting.
Yeah, with other golf YouTubers, and you got really into it.
Yeah, far too much, actually.
Yeah, it was a bit strange, but it was good. I enjoyed that.
New drivers, Ping drivers, TaylorMade drivers, Callaway drivers. The fact that Boris Johnson used one of your golf clubs,
yeah,
which is a big curveball.
It was. Never told that before.
And loads more. So sit back. First episode of 2021. We thought it wasn't going to be our best. It might not be, but it's okay.
And we also learned about when you embarrass yourself as well, which is good.
Oh, yeah. Things that I don't want to remember. Guys, sit back. Enjoy the first podcast of 2021. All right, guys. Welcome to the Rick Shields podcast.
Golf show.
The golf show. First episode of 2021. Feels like it's been a while.
It does. It's been, well, we had a week off, didn't we, last week?
We did.
Complete week off. But the week before that, which was, I think, the Robbie Williams... No, the one before that was the one we talked about custom fitting. And we filmed that, we recorded that one, I think, in advance, quite a few days before it went up.
Yeah.
And then the one before that was Robbie Williams, which we did again in advance, I think, if
we
I'm
did.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like it's actually been ages since we last did one. And it's got that feel a little bit, like part of me thought, let's have last week off. You wanted to do it last week, didn't you?
I did.
And I said, let's have a week off. Let's recharge. Let's come back bigger and stronger, faster and better. But actually, I feel really out of sync with it now. And I'm treating today as like the first gym session back, where you don't push yourself. You don't do too much. You just go and you tick the box and you get out of there. So it's going to be immediate. It's going to be medium to poor.
Okay. Wow. Really big that up.
How do you think it's going to be?
Wow. Well, it's funny because you mentioned all the claims there. You're saying it's going to be bigger and faster and stronger than ever before. It sounds very much like the claims that we're hearing from all the major manufacturers with their new driver releases at the start of 2021.
That it does.
Which we are going to come on to very shortly. Also, you've told me news that we saved someone's life, but you've not told me how.
We have. Now, I'll come on to that a bit later on, but yeah, we have inadvertently saved the life of somebody, which,
wow,
yeah, is quite big and I'm quite proud of this, but we'll come on to that a bit later on.
Like I say, we are going to dive into the new driver technology. We're actually recording this on Monday, the 11th of January, just after lunchtime, and actually we're 10 minutes away from the Ping driver embargo that's about to lift at 2 p.m. It's been a weird one with the Ping drivers, the G425s, because a lot of people have actually seen these drivers because it actually got released over in Asia,
yeah,
and Australia, like, what's that, September time or even earlier than that?
We actually, if you remember, we had an exclusive off Ping. They gave us an email and stuff to announce on the podcast. And I think that was a while ago now. But as we did discuss then, the rationale was it was due to, I think, release globally, like you said, about September time. And then because of COVID and whatnot, they decided to release it only in Asia and Australia. But with this world that we live in now, it's so easy to share things via the internet and stuff. It's been images have been online for months. Athletes have been using it for months. There's a couple of reviews online that have been on for months. So it's like a new driver, but doesn't feel new.
Yeah, it's a funny one, really.
But it's good. People will have seen it by now. They'll have hardcore listeners will have watched your video, liked it, subscribed, commented below. And now they're going to be going, oh, tell us some behind the scenes, Rick.
So it was an interesting one because, like I say, we've seen loads of it before. Lee Westwood's been out there winning with it. Tyrrell Hatton's been out there winning with it. And like I say, Guy said, we've seen a few reviews. I've seen loads of pictures and images. And we've had the drivers now for about maybe a month, if not longer.
Maybe more.
I reckon about 6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks, I'd say.
It's new driver lineup, Fairway Woods, irons, which a review of the irons will be coming out tomorrow. You know what? The G lineup, it's really interesting. G lineup's been around for donkey's years. Was the first ever one G2?
First one was G2.
Go on, let's see if we name them all. G2, G5, yep. Your turn.
10.
15.
20.
25.
30.
Then it went G.
Yes.
They decided to drop the number. 18 months later, they brought the number back, which was?
So it went G, and then it was G400.
Correct. Then G410, then G425. Interesting, though. Someone said, why did they not call it G420? And apparently, it means something.
Oh, it's 420 a day in America where everyone smokes weed, is it? Something like that.
Is that what it is?
I think it is 420. If you Google it, something like that. I'm not saying everybody in America smokes weed, but it's something like that, I think it is.
420 day, I'm going to have a look now. 420 meaning, cannabis culture, slang for marijuana hashish communication, especially smoking around the time of 420. And also refers to cannabis. You learn a lot here on the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. Celebrations that take place annually on April the 20th. So that's why they didn't call it the 420. Do you think that was it? Isn't that why it would be?
Because you probably get people making memes out of it and stuff. But you know what I like with Pink? And you said this in the video, I think, is that they stuck with G for ages. But actually, it's a good one for you. Do you remember why the G2 was so revolutionary at the time?
Super cheap.
Yes, it was £199 sterling. And that was actually... Because we've had a bit of, like all things like trends and fashions. Golf, clubs went really expensive in the early noughties. And it was like £500 more for whatever for a Callaway top
like
end driver.
Like the ERC.
Yes.
That was super expensive.
Yes, that kind of era. And then Ping came out with the G2, which I remember was £199, which at the time was really cheap.
Mega cheap.
But it was really good. Obviously, it was good, if not better than most drivers in the market. G5 was class. G10 was arguably the best ever, I would say. I had a G10 with the red Pro-Force shaft in it.
See, I used an i10.
Not Pro-Force, Pro-Launch, Graphloy Pro-Launch. You had the i with the black one.
I had
one.
The i10 and the i15. Well, it's a shame they don't bring the eye out anymore, actually. I'd quite
it's like the LX Tech, I suppose, isn't
yeah,
it?
But, I'd quite like the i425.
That would be good, in all black.
Yeah.
But what they have done well, and this is why I don't mind the fact that it got leaked, if you like, early, is that with, like, maybe TaylorMade or Cobra, you don't know what it's going to be next year, so it could be something different, it could be dead. Whereas with Ping, you know it's going to be a G driver. So that one kind of leaked early. But it wasn't that like, oh, you've ruined the surprise. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There was just like, yeah, it's a G425. It's a weird one because in one way, I want to say it looks really traditional. But also, when you put it behind the ball, with
it's
those turbulators and the Dragonfly, whatever it's called, if it's still called Dragonfly, it's an acquired taste. But in terms of branding and on a shop shelf, it's very kind of nice and just unoffensive.
Do you think they've got a very wide audience appeal then? Like, could you imagine? You could imagine a 15-year-old teeing up with the G driver, turbulators on top, all blacked out. Could you imagine a 70-year-old teeing off with?
Probably could. You know why I think we use Ping, and it doesn't. I like the brand. I've had the stuff before, but for me, this new line, it's a bit of a. I'm gonna say it's a bit like Colin. He's 55 and he's an accountant. That's who I see it as because it doesn't massively get me like excited. Ooh. I think it's this year's colorway as well. It's like very. Honest, it's a trustworthy piece of kit. It will do what it says in the tin. It's not too bling.
It's a
good
little bit bling. You know what it is? Sorry, just to interrupt. It's like a really nice car that you want to be quite showy off it. So you've just upped all the spec. You got the best alloys, but it's not trashy. Like
a high end VW.
Yeah, you've got the little bits of carbon. You've got a little bit. You know, it stands out on the road. But it's not somebody's looking at it and going, oh, look at that poser. But also, it's not a boy racer.
It's not Darren down the road in his Ford RS, which is essentially the tailor-made driver, is it?
Yeah.
Which can't be named just yet. But it can.
Yeah,
the
most people have seen it.
Sim Max 2,
Sim 2 Max. And Callaway brought out their lineup as well. So reviews of those, Callaway will be out Friday. TaylorMade will be out Tuesday following, so that the week after you've listened to this podcast.
I've got a challenge for you then, speaking about new drivers. And this is something we discussed earlier today off podcast. I love golf equipment, right? And that's no...
Secret.
Good. Well, I forgot the word for secret then. This is going well, isn't it? That's no secret, right? And I remember, I've told you this before, when I was a kid, before the internet was really a thing, I'd get my mum every month, take me to the local newsagent to buy the latest issue of like Today's Golfer and stuff. And I'd go straight to the middle, which is where all the equipment stuff was. And I can remember so vividly the day when it was announced that Callaway were making a ball, the Rule 35, the red and the blue version. And that being like, oh my God, it was like a massive thing that Callaway were making up. That was really sad. But that's how excited I was. And I still am to this day. But I needed to try and inspire me. And I'm going to kind of play devil's advocate role here. I'm getting bored of new drivers, Rick. Okay. I love seeing them, and I love that first look of what have they changed, or what's it called this year, how much does it cost, what athlete's going to be using it, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like performance-wise, every year, they're just a little bit better, a little bit better. And I'm worried that this time next year or the year after that, the fire is going to have just burnt out in my belly, and I'm just not going to be that excited anymore. So talk to me why I need to continue being excited.
I think there's a couple of reasons. First off, I do genuinely believe that driver technology has not fully reached peak yet.
Okay.
I think we're super close. I think we're getting unbelievably close to the limits that's set by the USGA and the RNA to say how fast the ball can come off the face. I get that. But I think there's also ways that the golf brands can potentially get golfers to swing it faster, potentially. We've not seen it massive leaps and bounds just yet. And also, you will see little golden nuggets that push the boundary. Let's say the speed zone driver, not speed zone, the F9 driver, that kind of pushed the boundary a little bit more, that seemed to have everything at the right price point. It looked good, it felt good, it sounded good, the performance was really good in it. I think what brands are sometimes falling the trap of, and I understand why this would cause you to lose the fire in your belly, and maybe some listeners as well, is I think they go down the trap of constantly telling you that the driver that they're bringing out this year is better than last year's.
Yes.
And I think that's the trap they're setting themselves up for. I wouldn't be offended, I'm sure you wouldn't be as well, if they just brought out the new version. And it wasn't so much about the performance of the new version. It was just about, this is the new TaylorMade driver. This is the new Callaway driver. In some degree, a little bit like what Ping do.
Mm-hmm.
I do, but then... does that then lose the fire completely, because it's not like the magical element of a driver, a new driver that promises you to hit it faster, further, straighter, longer, all that jazz? Does that then get completely lost, and does the fire completely vanish?
It's a fine line, isn't it? And again, we've said this before, again, off podcast, but every 2 years or whatever, the Pro V1 gets a new little bit of a story, that's a little tinkered on it. The only thing that changes visually is the little logo on the side changes to some degree. But you don't really see a difference. And we even know a lot of tour pros use old models. Adam Scott, is it? He's like a six-year-old one or something. A lot of them, is it 2015 one was really popular? I think it was. But you kind of just accept the new Pro V1. The box will change a bit, and you go into the pro shop when you want to buy a dozen, and you just buy whichever's the latest one. But with drivers, like you said, the brands are constantly, constantly saying it's faster, it's longer, it's more forgiving, it's higher launching, it's lower spinning. And then because it's not, because I think as well, obviously, since probably the last 6-7 years where launch monitors have become so accessible, and like people like you online have proven that they don't always go longer. How long does that go on for before you just think, right, I'm bored of the stories now? And for me, it feels like it's coming about now, and I don't want it to. I want to get excited every time they bring out a new driver, but I know that when I try one out, or when you try one out, it's going to be the same as last year, maybe a yard longer.
Do you think that also slightly changes? Obviously, you've worked in the golf industry now for several years. Do you think that's the same view that the general golfer has as well, or do they still get excited?
We get trapped in a bubble, don't we? We think that, like, so for example, if tomorrow, let's just say, Titleist next driver got leaked, I know it's ages away, but let's just say it did, right? We would be like, oh my God, that's ridiculous. Titleist are never going to come back from this. Everyone knows what the next driver looks like. 99% of the golfers at the golf course wouldn't have a clue. If you went round, one thing actually, just kind of jumping off that, one thing that used to surprise me when I used to work in a pro shop, and this isn't a bad thing, it's not, I'm not judging people, but so many of the members who were hardcore golfers, and when I say hardcore, I mean in terms of how much they play, literally 3-4 times a week, often seniors or sometimes just middle-aged blokes who love the golf. So many of them had really old clubs because they just weren't bothered about having the latest gear. They loved playing golf. Now, obviously, there is a lot of golfers that love having the latest gear, But so many of those golfers couldn't tell you what the latest Titleist driver's called or latest ping called or who won on the European Tour last weekend. So we are in a bit of a bubble. I've now forgot what the question was.
Do you think? Do you think golfers have still got the fire?
I don't know. I think not as much, possibly. I don't think people that watch our videos and watch your videos now probably are they as excited because they just know what's going to be. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, a little bit of another analogy, it's a bit like iPhones now. You always have the latest iPhone. This year you've not bothered because it's so similar.
Yeah.
There comes a point
that's
where,
annoyed me this year, that's actually.
It. You want to want it, don't you? You want to own it because you like having a new iPhone.
That annoyed me this year, the new iPhone, because I honestly thought, right, come on, what's next? What's happening? Because there are no limitations potentially with technology like that, like phones, where golf, as we know, we've become much more switched onto this in the past. There has been legal limits. Just as we're releasing this as well, the ping video has just gone live, so we might even get some live comments coming in.
That'd be quite cool. Have you seen as well, last thing on new drivers, you probably have seen this, the new PXG driver.
Yeah.
How cheap it is.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
The newest one now, the 0211 for 2021 model, brand new, is £325. That's mad, isn't it?
It's really, really hard for me to understand PXG's model.
I think they've got lost completely. Because I understand, like a bit like Tesla, this economies of scale, you come out as a business, as a brand, with a product or some more service, whatever it might be, and you charge a fortune for it. And obviously that then increases probably demand to some degree. You don't have much quantity of it. You increase people's desire. Yeah, desire is the perfect word. Desire for the product.
And it's good for your financial flow as a business as well to charge a lot of money for products.
And then you get people naturally wanting it who can't afford it. And then due to economies of scale, you might then obviously make more machinery or make a better way of process of making that product or whatever it might be. Then you make a cheaper option that then obviously the masses can purchase. With PXG, the driver was, what, £800 when it first came out, the first one, or even a grand.
Well, it was much closer to a grand. The hype behind PXG when they first came out was massive. Mm-hmm. It really was. Like, I used to get pestered and mired when he reviewing PXG, when he testing PXG, and I was like, oh my God. And at the time, it was quite hard to get products because, one, it was super expensive, and two, I didn't have a relationship with PXG at all. Finally managed to strike up a relationship, tested the PXG drivers, irons, fairway woods, probably for about 3 years. We gave a fairly negative review and said basically they've a similar story to this about last year, they've lost the way and never heard of PXG again. But also I never get asked about PXG. Like, I never see it in comments, I never see anything about PXG anymore.
Well, the reason why was, if you think about it, if a brand came out with a driver that's £1,000, people want to say, well, is it better than the Callaway that I've got that was £500?
It was intriguing.
And now it's sitting, the dearest drive they do is £405, which obviously isn't cheap. I'm not saying that's cheap, but it's still cheaper than the new TaylorMade that's coming out, the new Callaway, the new Ping. So it's a very strange place as to where they now sit in the marketplace. On the flip side of that, I'm just looking online now, their tour bag at Scottsdale Golf is still £710. So it's kind of like they still want to be having some things that are ridiculous. I mean, that's probably about £300-£400 more than a normal tour bag would be from another brand. So in one way, they want to have a driver that is more reasonably priced or even undercutting its competitors, but then have a tour bag that's £700. But surely that consumer that wants everything PXG is going to move away from that brand now because he knows, quite frankly, his mate who's got a worse job than him could afford one.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Really weird. I don't understand why they've done it.
Is this the death of PXG? That's going to be the title. That's perfect now. PXG, right. Are they dead?
Are we dead and we saved a life?
Yeah, we did. So I'll just come on to that briefly before we do anything else, that saving a life thing.
I want to talk very quickly about PXG, just tiny bit more. Imagine if this again was done in a car company. Like, who would you see as one of the most premium car brands?
Well, it depends. Like a
Lamborghini?
Well, I was going to say more like Rolls Royce.
Okay, Rolls Royce.
Whichever, yeah.
Imagine if they brought out a 25 grand car.
Yeah.
And suddenly everyone driving around a Rolls Royce. Like, how much would that damage the brand? And people who drove around in £1 million Rolls Royces would be like, I don't want to drive around in this anymore. Like, and like you said, that's the thing with PXG. I just find it so baffling. Like, if you've spent a lot of money on golf equipment because you wanted to and you want to show off, because let's be honest, that's the person who's buying that PXG stuff, and everyone's got it, and you're seeing it on the shelf for £300.
But even though that analogy you've made is good, it's still not quite the same, because with a Rolls Royce, that £500 grand one, would still be have a V12
true,
engine or whatever.
Compared to the
25 gram one would be a 1.2 litre petrol.
Yeah, true.
Whereas these PXG drivers are going to go the same distance, the dear one and the cheaper one, as anything else in the market. So you are buying PXG really for the branding.
Yeah.
So now it's cheaper than the other brands. It's strange. It's very, very strange. Do you want to hear about the saving life thing?
Yeah, I do.
So
nice little pick me up.
I haven't asked this person if I can read out his email. So therefore, I'm not obviously going to mention his name, and I'm going to kind of keep a few bits out of it. But it was from a gentleman, which I think I can say, who he basically said, you can't actually begin to know how much I mean. Well, he put thank you, right? And then he put, you actually can't begin to know how much I mean that.
Wow.
And it has nothing at all to do with improving my golf. So he said, shamefully, I only came across the Rick Shields Facebook and podcast phenomenon over the Christmas break, during which my wife and I contracted COVID-19, which made for a lot of time at home, getting into the videos, and latterly consuming the podcasts. So this is really recent. This is like literally a couple of weeks ago. Following my recovery, my local golf course was locked from closed from heavy rain. Sorry, I can't do the thing again today. I always do and I can't speak. I'm going to start again. Following my recovery, my local golf course was closed from heavy rain, and then lockdown 3.0 brought an end to the chance of utilising Rick's advice, etc. So I continued to work through more Rick Shields podcasts, often going to bed with my headphones in and listening to more and more of the content. I'm a big fan of that, because that's why we do the podcast. So when people think, oh, I like watching Rick's videos, well, now it's Rick's with you when you're in the car, when you're in bed, making love to your wife.
I'm basically there.
Rick's always there in your ear, giving you advice.
What goes on in the bedroom shouldn't be brought up in the podcast.
It took you a while to answer. Anyway, he then says, on Wednesday evening, I reached the Rick Shields and John Robbins podcast episode. And thankfully, it's a lengthy episode. About 11 p.m, my wife went up to bed. And it's not uncommon for me, being a bit of a night owl, to go to bed some hours after her. But just that night, I was quite tired and wanted to listen to the podcast, so I had to go up with her. So he's thinking, I'll get in bed, but I'll keep my headphones in. I've got John Robbins in my left ear, Rick Shields in my right ear. I'm enjoying it.
And his wife, you never know. She might perk up. Things might happen.
There was
an ulterior motive for him going to bed.
Well, it turns a bit dark here. But then he says, about an hour later, I was still listening to the podcast, and my wife, who was fast asleep, suffered a seizure and a heart attack.
Oh my goodness!
She simply fitted and made some really like bad groaning noises that I would never have noticed if I was still downstairs. Thanks to the podcast, I was with her and upstairs. I did CPR until the ambulance arrived and restarted her heart, and today she was taken out of intensive care and continues to recover. I can't tell you how relieved we are, of course. Whilst no one will ever know how grateful that I am, I went to bed that night to listen to you rather than stay up downstairs and kind of watch telly or whatever.
Oh my goodness.
I will no doubt finish the episode soon and many more, as I'm afraid to go to bed alone at the moment. Great content, and keep it coming. So I'm not going to say this guy's name, obviously. I've emailed him back to say, like, what an amazing story, and I hope his wife's in the mend, and I was obviously going to read it to yourself. So I might chase him up afterwards, or if he gets back to us, I might basically ask if we can maybe, well, I don't know if we need to mention his name anyway, but keep a track on how she's getting on.
Mm.
Because that is a crazy story, that, isn't it? To think that if he wasn't listening to the episode upstairs,
wow.
Who knows? God forbid, you know, anything bad would have happened. But, well, wow. Something bad happened. Anyway,
I don't know. Me trying to make a sex joke out of it.
I know. Never mind. But it was, that was good to hear, wasn't it?
Amazing. No, I'm so glad, like I say, things like that, you know, fate is a crazy, crazy thing. And so many things happen for a reason. And obviously, it wasn't her time to go. And therefore, I'm glad you're around. And the fact you knew CPR and all sorts.
No,
like,
it's mental.
It, very, very lucky. So I'm glad. It is a good end to the story. Comments coming in early on the video.
On the new Ping G425 video.
On the new Ping... Rick, you're my favourite YouTuber, blah, 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 blah. Rick, you're simply the best. Oh, sorry, let me try and find some about the upload. There's actually not many yet, because not many people have watched the full video.
Good, this is good content.
I've got a high-quality camera.
Great.
Love the videos. Head cover fashion advice with Rick. You make the best club reviews on YouTube. I'll check that again in a few minutes.
Yeah.
To see.
There's no pressure. But people are listening to this in the car. They've not had a podcast for a couple of weeks. They're thinking, right, Rick's back with his record-breaking golf podcast, the number one golf podcast in the UK.
Are we anymore? Where are we now?
I don't know. I'm forgetting what charts.
We're so far down
New year, new me. I'm not bothered about vanity. It's just making good, honest content that saves lives. That's all I want to do.
That's our tagline.
Yeah.
But if you do want to sponsor the podcast, there's still chances.
Nah, it's long gone, all that.
All right, okay.
We actually had a couple of good questions. I put a thing on Facebook. But again, let's just today ease back into it.
I'll tell
it.
You what we can talk about. Bloody golf course is closing.
Well, that was on the list as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we'll come on to that in a minute. Because we obviously can't make any videos. Really easy one for you here. Who's your favourite YouTuber between Peter Finch or Matt Fryer?
I'd probably still go Pete.
Would you?
Yeah. I don't like his new presentation style's strange. I feel like he's changed. Like, he's like a character. He's turned into like a TV character.
Yeah.
Like Jeremy Clarkson off Top Gear or something. So yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of that side of him, but I think that's his like nervous energy.
Yeah.
I feel like he's not like that in real life, is he? He doesn't speak like that.
Get involved, mate. You carry on. I'm just going to stir the pot.
He doesn't speak like that, and he speaks a bit different on camera, but some of the content he does is pretty decent. Matt's getting there.
I'm going to go with Matt then to balance it out a little bit.
I'm still intrigued to know. I think you can grow a really successful YouTube channel just off coaching. Mm-hmm. So you've seen Danny Moore do it, Me and My Golf do it, Matt Fry do it, Chris Ryan do it, and several others just coaching. Mm-hmm. And I think Matt needs to stay in that lane potentially. We'll see if he does or not.
Liam has asked, the both of us, but I'm obviously going to ask you first, what are your hobbies aside from golf?
I must admit, I don't like this question because I don't really have any. What do I like doing?
Working out.
I started working out a little bit again. How much do I go in ebbs and flows of working out?
Yeah, really bad.
Like, 2 weeks, I'm like on it, like crazy, and then I'm off it for 6 months, and I'm on it again for 2 weeks, which isn't a good balance. I like running, I do.
Yeah.
I do like running a lot. I don't do it enough, but I do. What else do I like doing? It sounds a bit boring, that. I like working. That's boring, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's yours, pal?
Reading books.
Fuck.
My hobbies are watch other people's golf YouTube videos and slagging them off to you on text. No.
You really
don't know. I'm the same as you. I go through phases of like running, and I was quite consistent. 2020, I think I did 200 runs or something. I counted up on my Strava, which I was quite impressed with.
If you could pick up a hobby, what would you do?
I want to do, or that sounds cool to say you do. You know what I always feel like? You're gonna, right, I remember this weird story, right? Not a weird story. My brother, in his old, like, a job ages ago, he might not even remember me telling me this, but he said there was some lad that he worked with who was a lot younger, who was like, not an intern, but that kind of vibe, like 20 or something. And I think he was talking to people at work, and somebody said to this lad, do you go out on a weekend or whatever? And he kind of said, oh, no, I don't drink. I've never drunk, and I've never even gone to a nightclub or anything like that. And that's, which is quite rare for a 20-year-old male. And apparently kind of his hobby was something along the lines of going out on like a night on a Saturday and like helping the homeless people. Wow. And like giving them food and stuff like that. And I know it sounds really stupid, but that's actually, but I feel like I've never done anything like that. I'll hold my hands up, but I'd kind of like to, because I think about how good you'd feel.
You would feel good.
Like helping people out and stuff. So that's a bit deep, but I would like to do something like that more. I don't kind of know what, but
I want to do kickboxing.
That for when you and Crossfield have a fight. He would do you at the minute, though. He's fast.
If I can lamp Pete, I can lamp him as well.
No, I do think Crossfield would take you.
No chance. Don't even joke about things like that.
All right, then, give you two golf YouTubers you wouldn't fancy yourself against, then, who you think.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Would possibly have the edge over you.
Alex Etches.
Yes, definitely.
He would absolutely demolish me.
Good shout. What's his podcast become? I'm loving it.
I feel like Andy Proudman's all muscle, but no force. Do you know what I mean?
That's Andy from Me and My Golf. He's got the six pack, if anyone doesn't know who that is.
Like, he looks phenomenal, but I just don't think he's got any meat behind him. Who else? Let me think. It's a good question, this. It's got to be an American, surely. I think he's got a killer blow. The lefty from THG.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he'd throw a punch.
Yeah. Any dark horses in there?
And then probably like Mike Newton.
Mike Newton, yeah. I can imagine Mike Newton knows a bit of karate, mate.
Yeah,
he's a brown belt.
He's quite tall.
Yeah.
Like Matt, flick over. Pete, I'd smash.
This has just gone. I'm loving this. Carry on.
Most of them would. It'd probably only be Alex Etchell. I wouldn't want to get involved with.
Big guy.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
And then Paul Sturges.
Yeah, he's 7'7" He would just give you a flick. So that was good. That went off on a tangent. It's quite a good question, this. And it was from David. He said, what's more important with golf clubs, facts or feel? So what I think he's meaning is, let's just say you get a fitting, for example. I'm putting words in his mouth. And one driver's 300 revolutions less spin than the other one, and it's going a bit further. But the one that was less far might feel better.
I think it depends on what is the difference, isn't it? If it was 1 yard, but you prefer the feel of the one that went...
You're going feel, aren't you?
Feel every day. If it was 10 yards, then it's going to put you on a bit of a question mark there, isn't it? Because it's like, God, that's 10 yards further. That I'm hitting an extra club short, a club shorter into the greens. I've got to go for the extra 10 yards over the driver that feels nicer or the club that feels nicer. If it's putting, I would probably still go off feel.
Yeah.
Regardless of stats almost. Like if one of them said, that ball rolls 3% sooner in its roll over this one, I'd still go with the one that feels best.
You know what, right? I want to ask you something here. I'm going to come on to a couple more questions in a minute. I ruffled some feathers in the last podcast when I talked about fitting, right? And that video clip has gone onto Facebook.
Okay? It's done well, actually.
It's had over 100,000 views. Now, regular listeners will know that I was doing that kind of semi-playing devil's advocate, and that there obviously are a lot of benefits to fitting, but I do still think it's overrated in a lot of departments, okay? Some people were saying, I really agree with this guy, didn't know my name, but they called me Guy, which is good. It's close, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then there was other people who were saying, oh, he's chatting absolute nonsense, whatever, he's an idiot and stuff, which is, again, it's fine. I know I'm going to get that reaction when you kind of say something that so
not
many...
Not nice, though.
No, but so many people, I understand, think that fitting is the holy grail, and they've heard it from the mate who's off 5 or something or whatever, so it's understandable. But I still am not convinced that fitting makes a lot of people better. And there is some advice, there's just some examples where people say, well, actually, I got down from 5 to 2 when I got fitted. But then you think, well, actually, I know it's going off on a tangent, but if you are off 5 and you get down to 2 because you're in for a fitting, you're obviously quite keen on your golf to go for fitting in the first instance. So is it also the fact that you've got a fit set of irons, then put in a lot more graft as well? You need to spend money on the irons in order to get used to them, and therefore, because of that, you've then got better because you've been playing more and practicing more, or is it down to the irons? So I was thinking, right, for video, this would be quite a big effort, but I'll put it on here first. Let's get an average golfer, an 18 handicapper, right, who's a kind of standard golfer, Standardish height, standardish build, okay? Who's got whatever clubs they've got. Ideally not fitted, ideally just off the shelf.
Calling the accountant.
Calling the accountant, right? Take him for a fitting and get them everything through the bag, driver to putter, all fitted. Then they have to play 10 rounds of golf, okay? And alternate between normal clubs for round one. Obviously not in one day or anything, they can be separate days. Then second day or whatever, the fitted ones, whichever, back and forth basically. And at the end of 10 rounds or 15 or 20, however many we chose to do, actually have a look at the scores and see, well, on round 1, 3, 5, 7, 9 or whatever, you were using your normal clubs and you shot this many over par, this many days, whatever. With the fitted clubs, you shot X and see if there actually is a benefit.
That's quite a cool idea. Because like you said, the problem is, let's say we took you, for example, yeah. Right? You go now to whatever brand or whatever fitting facility and got fully fitted right now and said, right, guy, fully fitted, go and play golf. Now, you might get a rocket up your ass and go and play golf loads more.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you would, but, no, but you might do, right?
If you spent $1,000 of your own money on
exactly,
them,
let's say you spent a load of money on your own and your heart and your head is set on, this year is my year. I'm going to play the best golf I can. I'm going to get fitted. I'm going to do this. I'm going to practice more. I'm going to play more, blah, blah, blah. And we took your scores this year compared to last year. That's not a fair comparison whatsoever because last year you weren't playing and whatever. So it's trying to find that balance. How can, the best way would be if a guy literally played once every week, just a Saturday morning, every single week for 50 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
We took all that scores in 1 year, he never practiced, never did anything, give him a fitting, and then the following year he played exactly the same 50 rounds Saturday morning. Because even if you gave Colin, the accountant, who's, 55 playing off 18, full set of golf clubs, is he going to practice more potentially because he's got the shiny, almost like I feel like I run better when I've got new trainers on. And I don't because they're just new trainers.
But I bet you go out more because you want to wear your new trainers. Exactly, and then you'll see a benefit in your time. That's what I'm trying to get at. And somebody put this, I know it was, but somebody put a comment saying, watch, Jimmy, da da da. He said, let's imagine I want to take up cycling and I will go and buy a kid's bike. Now, obviously, that's not what I'm saying because obviously, if you are 7 foot tall and you use normal clubs, it's going to be different. Or if a normal sized person, regular sized person, went and got a set of junior clubs, it'd be different. But going back to a bike analogy, if you went to a bike shop tomorrow and you wanted just a bike, then obviously, would it make that much difference to you maybe if you got a different tire or just like different handlebars, different grips on that? Like, there's obviously stuff they would add and change. And it might feel more comfortable, but would you suddenly go out and be able to cycle faster around the block than you would with the one that wasn't massively fitted to you? And I don't know, because it's not about cycling, but that's more of the analogy than like saying going in a kid's bike. Because obviously you're not going to buy a kid's bike. Anyway, fitting's important to some degree. Let's just leave it at that. Happy to leave it at that.
I think so. Until we stir the pot again.
Until we need some content, then we can come up with something like that. So Michael's asked, would you shave your beard off forever to play Augusta once, but it can't grow back? And that's a picture of you he's used with no beard.
Oh, that's an horrible picture, isn't it? Oh, God. How can I put a value on my beard?
I think you'd have to keep the beard looking at that picture.
My kids wouldn't recognise me. No. My wife would leave me.
You know what you look like there in that picture? You look like your name's Simon and that you're about 24 and you work at like Burton's, but you think you are somebody.
So this is a screenshot.
Your dad's got a bit of money and he's giving you like some money to buy a car and you've got like a 61 plate Merc, but it's gone to your head. It has. And you've got like a decent watch, but it's like a cheap tag that you got for your 21st. That costs about, well, I don't know what, but like a cheap version of a tag.
Brilliant.
That's what you look like.
Wow. So this is a screenshot from one of my first ever videos I ever made, where it was on a putting green at Highley, and this is the take. It's like, hi, I'm Rick Shields. Hi, it's Rick Shields. This is Rick Shields Golf Tips or something like that. And that was how to put or something. I can't remember. My neck looks thick, though, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I think I was working out there. But...
Best golf holiday destination?
Honestly, Turkey.
Is it?
Yeah.
Never been.
Only because there's shed loads of unbelievable golf courses in like the, I can't, oh God, what's it called? Area. That's going to annoy me. Loads of amazing golf courses like Max Royale, the Faldo courses, Carrier. It's not super busy like a Tenerife or a Spain or a Portugal or whatever. The food is phenomenal. The hotels are out of this world. And you've got night golf there as well. The only thing it lacks, but I think this is what makes a better lad's holiday than a not a lad or a golf holiday, let's say, is it's not got a massive nightlife. Like, it's not like crazy clubbing every night.
That's what you need, isn't it? That's what you
the one thing that when I've been on golf trips before with the boys at Portugal, Spain, or whatever, it's the one thing that I end up regretting the most, like going out too hard and getting too hammered, then the next day not playing.
Does that
golf.
Not mean it's good then if it's not got that in Turkey?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh right,
that's
okay,
what I'm saying. It's the best.
Oh, wrong with you. Right, I thought you said it was a bad thing.
No, no. There's nice restaurants. There's a few bars and things like if you want to get your boogie on, but it's not like. It's not like Albufeira in Portugal where it's like a proper strip that's like mad.
So you've
clubbing.
Got two options, right? Play 18 holes. You finish at 5 p.m. Straight back to the room. Bit of Lynx Africa. Gel your hair a bit. Straight out on the lash, right?
Yeah.
You're going clubbing. You're having fish bowls. You're spinning around with a straw.
I mean, this all sounds good, yeah?
Yeah. That, and you're out till...
3, 4, whatever.
Yeah. Early kebab home, yeah. Sick. Why yeah. Not? Right? Or finish at 5, golf, little glass of red in the clubhouse,
yeah,
bit of a chat, back to the room, shower, FaceTime the wife and kids,
yeah,
out for a fillet steak,
nice,
6 beers,
yeah,
a cigar,
yeah,
home by 12,
yeah, that's where I am. That's me right now. I lived the first life. I was there and I loved it. I loved it every minute of it. Every 3 o'clock getting back home and not knowing how I've even got back and teeing up on the next day, seeing 5 golf balls on the tee thinking, oh my God, I think I'm going to be sick. I've been there, I've done that. And I'll be honest, I loved it.
Yeah.
But not enough anymore. Now it is that second option. It's a nice glass of red. It's a couple of beers after the golf. It's a nice steak. It's nice. And proper. Like, we're not sharing rooms on this hotel.
Oh,
this,
absolutely not. No,
the first trip, yeah, you share rooms. Yeah. Like, that's just what it is. Yeah. Get as many people in a room as you possibly can to make it as cheap. You have to tee off at like 12 noon when it was the hottest because that was the cheapest tee times.
Yeah.
Where now I want to tee off at 10 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon and have a nice breakfast and what maybe I might even do a bit of sightseeing. I might wander down to the beach in the mornings and just, you know, stretch my legs and just go and pick up a paper or whatever. And,
yeah, you'll pick up a paper. No, you'll be scrolling on TikTok, but still a bit of time to yourself.
That's still my Magaluf side of me.
You know what else you're missing out? It's really good. I've never been like this kind of holiday, but what would be my ice on the cake? A brand new fresh white pair of golf shoes.
Oh yeah,
they've never been touched till this trip.
Yeah, definitely.
The ball and uncomfy when you put them on because they're so box fresh. You get a bit of blisters, but they look awesome. Dan has asked, and I've got a good one for this, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Your most embarrassing moment on the golf course? I've probably asked this before. I can't remember.
Honestly, hand on heart, my most embarrassing was 14 Club Challenge.
Oh, yeah, that's
I wanted to be swallowed up at that time. It was
just
horrible.
Elaborate on that for people that don't know what happened.
It wasn't very good.
No, but what even is it is?
Don't really want to bring it up. Last year, last September.
One of the biggest moments of your career, really, wasn't it, you could say?
Well, yeah, some would say. The European Tour started this thing where it's two golfers, typically tour players. They have a green on a par three, and you've got to hit... Each player plays against each other, and as soon as you've hit that club, neither player can hit it again. Mm-hmm. You get a point for hitting the green, you get no points for missing the green. I got no points.
Yeah.
So that means I'm missed every time. I shanked 2 shots.
You did.
And Pete got one, only one. He didn't play as bad as me, but it was just very, very... I was out of practice, very nervous. A lot more people around than I expected there to be.
Mm-hmm.
I normally film with 2-3 people around us, and there must have been 15, 20 people around. It wasn't particularly very nice.
You know what? I've said this to you before. It wasn't your best performance, but it's harder than it looks for in Club Challenge because, let's just say... It's a 6-iron, right? If your opponent, I can't remember if you went first, but let's just say you go second. If your opponent goes first and shoots a 6-iron, straight away, your first shot, which should be the easiest, is the easiest, is with a club that's still not right. And even if you go first and go with 6-iron, there's no guarantee you're going to hit the green. So then you're thinking, if you're second, you're going, right, I'm going to hit 7, I'm going to have to smash it to get there. Inevitably, you lose control and miss the green. And then after that, it's only getting harder. So if you miss your first shot or your second shot, you're going to get a horrendous score. Mine's nowhere near as bad as that because that was televised. That was on YouTube for the whole world to see when you claim to be really good at golf.
What's funny, the best thing about that, European Tour did a worst 14 club shot challenge videos. I got in that video twice.
Well, remember what we always say, you either want to do really well or really bad because it's content to your side. We don't want you getting 2 points. What's that about? Pathetic. mine was, you know the golf course, my old one, Grange Park, because Hellage, you've played with me.
We only played the front nine,
but luckily for you, the story's in the ninth hole.
Oh, yeah. I remember, it comes back to the clubhouse.
They host a tournament every year called the Grange Park Rose Bowl, which is quite a big like local tournament. There's like a ballot of like a 4 handicap or better to get into it. It's only like local area. There's a guy called John Carroll, have you heard of him?
Yeah, I played with him in Open Qualifier.
He wins every year.
And I got my hole in
one. Oh, is that you win?
I played with him.
Well, he's from Hayton and Prescott. I think he's off like +4. He's like class. He's won it probably 5, 10 times, whatever. And in 2013, I think it was, I got kind of back into my golf. And at this point, Grange Park wasn't my home course, but I'd played it loads of times. I used to be a member of junior. My home course was one called Huffwood in St. Helens. And I got my handicap back. I've been playing loads. I was off, I think, 2.7. So I was off 3, but playing really nicely. I went to the Grange Park Rose Bowl, not thinking I was going to win it, but thinking I've got a chance here to do a decent number. Ninth hole, right?
Back towards the clubhouse.
It's a long par 4. If you hit a long drive and draw it, you can be quite
like
sure.
Downhill.
It was long. It's about 5 iron in. And it's obviously, it's a 36-hole tourney, and it's very busy as well. And people walk around and watch, not like hundreds, but quite a lot of members, because they know it's quite a good golf competition, and you get some decent players in there, whatever. Ninth hole, second shot, hit this pull hook. It hit the conservatory, which is out of bounds, obviously, as well. Hit the conservatory, made loads of racket. There we go. Then I had to drop another one, and essentially the same thing again. Didn't quite hit it, but hit it in that vicinity. I had to go over, and obviously everyone was looking at me like, oh my God, you're going to be a decent player, because everyone playing is a decent player, and you've done that twice. I then played 18 holes and decided that I was just going to do 18 and not the 36. So I walked off the 18th green back to my car. As I was doing so, a lad who I was kind of friendly with from my own golf club had come to watch me and walked into the vicinity of the car park to obviously find me and then watch me in my second round. And I just hid and got in the car and went home and left him to find out that I'd gone home.
Wow. Does he ever know that story?
No, I don't think he does. so that was quite embarrassing, the fact that I was that bad and I'd kind of got hope that I was going to do all right.
Remember that chip I played against you on that hole?
No.
I was either one up or we were all square. I think I was one up. And I hit a decent tee shot down the left, then pushed my second shot onto the 10th tee box.
Oh, I do remember this now, because I thought you had you now at this point, yes.
I think you'd put it on the green or near the green or something. Anyway, there was a young lad watching who must be a fan of the channel and this, that, and other. And I was thinking, oh my God, I've got a tight chip. I couldn't put it, too much of a... So I had to play this tight chip off a tee and absolutely hit one of the chip of my lives.
Yeah, it was good.
Put it close and knocked it in for par and beat guy. Yet to beat me at.
No, that's good. That at least I've not embarrassed myself on European Tour. last question I've got here. It's quite a good one, actually. So it's from somebody whose name I'm not even going to remotely try and pronounce, but thanks anyway.
Go on, let's have a look.
Well, all right then, let's see you do that.
Oh my goodness.
It looks Italian, I think.
Giuliano,
I feel like it is. But anyway, it's a good question, so thank you. He said, direct to consumer golf clubs, example, your Ben Hogan's, your Haywood, your sub-70s, etc. How can a golfer choose the best composition in terms of shaft, lie angles, etc., without easy access to a fitter? That was basically the question. So a lot of these brands now that are doing direct-to-consumer, like those Styx golf clubs we reviewed a little while ago, obviously the massive benefit of these brands is they don't pay tour pros, firstly, they don't. And also, as it is direct-to-consumer, there's no middleman to make a profit, there's no pro shop, there's no retailer, so you pay less, they still make the normal level of profit, everyone's a winner. However, going against fitting again, but you can order them fitted in the sense of an inch longer, half an inch longer, upright, flat, whatever, different grip. But if you don't know what you need, how do you order what you need? So what would you say?
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because this is where I think there needs to be a service, if there's not one already, where you go for a fitting prescription. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that, you go into a fitting facility, say, I'd like to be fitted, please. I will pay for your time. I'll pay £40, £50 for the hour of fitting or whatever it is. All I need off you is, what spec would I be? Like, am I an inch longer? Do I need thicker grips? Do I need a different lie angle? I don't know how many places do that. Is it a service?
I think it's a service. The only thing is, though, if somebody says, right, you need 1 degree upright, but then
what's one degree upright compared to
you'd
that
have
brand?
To know what the brand is that...
True.
So it's not a bad shout.
You'd almost have to say, well, give me a prescription of everything. So what's the length of my 7-iron? What's the lie angle of the 7-iron?
That's a good idea. And then you can get them built to
what's
that.
The grip thickness of this? What's the shaft makeup or the exact shaft or whatever it may be? A lot of times, well, these brands, certainly like I've known that Ben Hogan do it, they do like trial clubs, don't they, as well? It is a minefield because, like I say, it's not just like picking up, you know, if you pick up a second-hand car, as long as you like it, you can just move the seat, move the wind mirrors and move everything around and it's fitted to you. Clubs get built that way, so it's much, much harder, definitely.
I think the only thing, it doesn't answer his question at all, the only thing I would say is that I would imagine that the kind of person that buys those clubs, and I'll come on to who that person is in a minute, isn't massively that bothered. So what I mean by that is the person that buys those clubs is somebody that wants a brand new set of golf clubs, that wants a kind of fairly well-known name, i.e. Ben Hogan. I know these other brands, Sub 70, are kind of making a bit of a name for themselves. But you know that by doing it that way, you can't get them fitted at a retailer. So that's kind of why you know. That's why you're buying them in a weird way, that you're saving the money. So you kind of can't have it both ways. You can't...
How long will it be before every brand does that, though? Direct to consumer.
I think you still can with some brands, but... you can get them fitted elsewhere. You could go and pay your local pro. But then again, it wouldn't be that... because if you bought them off Callaway's website, it's still the same price as from your local pro. So there's not really any benefit to...
That's also... you get completely messed up there, don't you? Because you don't get fitted.
Yeah.
Plus, you're paying the same price.
I don't know. I think realistically... and that's what's quite good with sticks. If you're 5'7" to 6'1", you're standard. If you're 6'1", 6'3", you're half an inch longer.
Yeah.
Now, that isn't... it's perfect science, no, because obviously it depends on how you come into it, how you actually dynamically hit the golf ball as well. You know, you might come up with very high handle, very low handle, etc., and therefore need flatter or more upright, whatever it might be. But roughly, if you're 5'7" to 6'1", in a lot of brands, you're going to be around, you might have massive hands or thin hands, whatever, small hands, whatever, so your grip might be different, but you're not going to be a million miles off.
Not at all.
You could get them and take them to your local shop, have a little fitting with them, and also you could get them adjusted. Certainly if they're forged, lie angle could get adjusted pretty easily.
Yeah.
So.
It's a minefield. What do you think about golf courses closing?
Oh, yeah, there we go. I forgot about that. I think there's a couple of things. I think there's a lot of arguments in the UK that you can go for a walk. So we could go for a walk, not work-related as such, and... that's okay in the terms of the rules that you can walk with somebody from a different household and obviously keep your distance and
could
stuff.
We have our golf clubs on our back?
Well, that's the thing. You can't. So,
well, we could.
Well, you could. You can't go to a golf course. Training. That's when you know you're serious and you're walking around the block training, aren't you?
Just with your golf clubs on your back.
Yeah. But I think the other argument is, and again, I'm not really on either camp here, so I'm not really too invested in either one, but if you open golf courses... are people going to spread it on the golf course? Are people going to social distance on the golf course? Do people just become too lackadaisy with it and like, oh, good putt, mate, and tap each other on the back, etc.? And then also the other argument, which I don't massively think is over the top, but is the fact that if people are driving unnecessarily to the golf course, they could crash. That could end up being somebody injured, unfortunately, an extra bed in a hospital that could be used by somebody else. I mean, it's where you draw the line with that, because if you can go to McDonald's for a burger now, it's not essential, is it? No. But you're still driving the car. So I don't know. Is what I'm, long answer to that. I really don't know.
I've definitely in the last 6 months, or longer than that, I went to it, like 9 months. I've definitely seen under the restrictions that you should be people doing social distancing, people aren't doing that on golf courses.
No, that's true.
I've seen that being broken. I've seen people sharing buggies that are not from the same household. I've seen people like say high fiving, shaking, congregated around tee boxes when they shouldn't be. They should be much further apart. Which is annoying. I think if golf was to open, probably backing two balls again potentially would be the way to benefit it. I think it's a real shame. I think certainly this time of year with golf courses struggling anyway with obviously freezing memberships or whatever it may be, I do think it's horrible, horrible time for golf. But hopefully by the time spring comes and with last year the influx of new golfers we had into the sport, if we can get another influx like that in springtime, moving into the summer, then golf courses could potentially still thrive on this year and could have a better year than they've ever seen before. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to predict obviously the future.
I think the other thing as well is obviously for all everybody listening, I'm guessing golf's the concern and the priority and the main sport or whatever, but then it's like, well, it's tennis then. I know fishing's allowed at the minute, they've allowed fishing, so it's like, well, if we allow golf, then it's like, well, I play outdoor tennis, has that then become allowed? And well, I want to go swimming in an outdoor pool, well, has that now become open? So it's probably there has to be a limit, I guess. Obviously I want golf, I suppose fundamentally, I want golf courses open for my own kind of selfishness, if you like, but I don't know if they should be.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
That's been a roller coaster, by the way, that. Because
how the hell have we got 50
minutes?
We've
gone from talking about you having fights.
Yeah.
To talking saving a life, to COVID, new drivers. To new drivers. That is as good as you're going to get today, I think.
You're not going to get any better. Bank it. Come back next week. We'll continue to do our best.
The other thing we need to do, though, is we need to remind people to give us a rating on Apple. If you listen on
Apple. Are we bothered about charts anymore?
No, but just be nice. Be kind.
All right, okay.
And also, we do need to get back to the usual features of your Listener of the Week. There's a massive Listener. The first person to get Listener of the Week back from this big, little break is going to go down as a legend. You could become an Ed Brown or Derek Chan. So, you know, email us, podcast@rickshields.com. Tell us why you should be Listener of the Week. We also need some nightmare golf stories. We need some crazy golf.
Do you like the guest episodes?
Yeah, I do.
I do.
They're easier.
We should start.
Well, the harder to get the guests, but they're easier just to do. But
I think we should start looking into guests again.
Also, what I'd like to know from people is, I know everyone's gonna have different opinions on this, would they rather guests be like, they know kind of every fourth episode, for example, is a guest, or is it like the randomness of next week it could be a guest, it could just be me and you?
I like the randomness personally.
I do. The only thing is, the guest episodes are quite different to this. So we had like two guests that we did with MKBHD and Robbie Williams in a row. It was really good and people loved them. But people that like this style more, it might be missing out. So I don't know.
If you could have a guest on your wish list, who would it be? I've got one.
Let's go one ridiculous and then one realistic. Because then it's, obviously it'd be Tiger. If I could have anybody, but that's pointless even saying Tiger, isn't it? When you go first, while you're ready.
Will Smith.
Yeah. Again, that feels borderline ridiculous. It could happen.
Who knows? I'd like Will Smith and...
It's a long pause.
I don't know who else I want. I'd quite like, golfers-wise, I'd quite like Tommy.
Yeah.
I'd quite like Finno, his caddy. Mm-hmm. He's mentioned about doing one.
Yeah,
Finno. I'm not sure if we all understand him, because he's scouse. Who else would I like on the podcast? A Butch Hardman or a... No?
Yeah. I'm not a guest. Obviously, I don't know. I think that people like Tubes, where they're kind of golfy, but not too golfy are good.
I quite like...
You made a master list, didn't you, of all these guests?
Oh, yeah. Let me find my master list.
So Rick made a list of people who wants to have on the podcast. It started off like Barack Obama, Tiger Woods.
Oh, God, yeah. Where's that gone? Right, podcast... Oh, that's not it. Or is it? No, it's not. I'm not sure if we just should do presidents, though. But it's very controversial, isn't it?
Getting involved in all that. Do you know that Boris Johnson once used one of my clubs? So when I worked for Nike, I did an event at London Bridge, well, Tower Bridge, so to say, where Nike were kind of showing off the new clubs. It was a bit weird. And when Boris Johnson was Mayor of London, he... went onto the middle of like the water with Rory, who was also there, which makes it even weirder. And they needed a club for him. So I got asked to obviously give one of my demo bags to him, and he attempted to hit a shot with one of my clubs. Do you want to find a picture? This is so weird. I've can't remember told this before. There it is. That's not me. That's I took the picture. That's my demo bag, Boris Johnson and Rory McIlroy.
What? It swings off.
It was so bad.
Here's my list. Tiger, Bryson, Michelle Wee, Michael Jordan, Will Smith, Justin Timberlake,
yep.
Lewis Hamilton, I put Barack Obama, Christ. David Beckham, Prince William.
And yeah, I think none of them are realistic.
Prince William?
Let's get Matt Fryer back on.
Guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week and have a good one. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.